Welcome to the podcast. This is Dave Say, graphic designer.
And I'm photographer Sid Caesar.
And this is take two of the podcast because the whole mixer fell down and
you missed
pulled out of the computer.
A catastrophe.
It was aggravating.
The behind the scenes stuff that you don't actually see in like real recording studios and things fall down on the floor.
Yeah. And yeah, I was like talking and then it was like, and then like, I was like, whoa. And then like, we kept going and no, it's not recording.
It wasn't even recording.
Oh no.
All that dialogue that we wasted.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
I think it came out better this time.
It's off to a better start already.
It is.
Exactly, because you were like, then you disappeared. Then you're like, keep talking. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. What
are you talking about? Way it's not recording. This
and then you were like, stop, cut it.
Yeah. But then we thought of some things to talk about.
Exactly, while you were trying to piece everything back together.
Yeah, like, we were stuck before. So what are we looking forward to this week?
I don't know, but I like this. I like this, do this on a Monday morning thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is nice. Like, you spend the whole weekend, you know, I'm trying to not think about work things on the weekends now.
Yeah.
And then you come in on a Monday morning, and it's like, all right, it's the first thing we're going to do. Boom.
Just
lay one of these things down for 30 minutes. Get our mouths working.
Yeah, that's right. Get the social juices flowing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And try not to be all stuffed up.
Yep. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of movies I want to see this week. Did you see anything?
No, we've just been watching stuff at home for a long time. There's a lot. I want to see Gravity, which everybody says is amazing.
Yeah, it's.
I want to see it because I'm a big fan of
Sandra Bullock.
No. I like Clooney. Like, it's taken me a long time to warm up to Clooney.
Yep.
But now I'm a really big Clooney fan after he got rid of that whole head shaking thing.
Right. Yeah.
every time we watch Steven Soderbergh's Out of Sight, which he starred in, that like for me, that's what got rid of the head shake movie was Steven Soderbergh. Soderbergh was just like, stop shaking your head.
So this was a gesture he would make with his head?
And it started in, I think it started with ER. And he had this thing that he would do where he would like look down, but with his eyes, he would look up towards the camera and his head would be at an angle. And when he would talk, he would bob his head. And he did it all the time. That was like his thing. Like
Sounds like that selfie pose.
The Clooney bob, yeah. And I think, and he did like he did it in From Dusk Till Dawn. Like he just does it. Like it was just a thing that he did.
We'll have to find a clip for an example.
I bet you. I hope there's like a YouTube thing that just like
there's probably a super
does a whole super cut. So I like him, but I wanted to see that because I like the director. The director is the guy that did Children of Men, which is one of my favorite science fiction movies of all time.
Oh,
it came out a few years ago.
I have not seen it.
Oh, you need to see this movie. It's beautiful.
Is that the one with the goat in it?
No. This is one of those like in the near future films, science fictions, and it's about women stop the ability to make babies, and so this takes place I think like 20 years after that whole virus happens. Then it opens up with the very last, like they call him the youngest person in the world, and he's like 24 years old, and he gets killed in a mugging, and everybody's all somber because it was literally the youngest person. It was like,
wow.
It's really good. And it's what I really love about it is it's just kind of gritty, but there's like slight science fiction elements, and then it's a lot of it is done in these really long takes and stuff that feels like they're like 8 to 10 minute long takes.
Oh.
It's real. I have to let you buy it. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it sounds
good. Really good.
What else do you want to see?
Gravity. I want to see the new Ridley Scott movie, and I don't remember the name of it. But it's got like everybody in the world is in it, and it was the first direct screenplay that Cormac McCarthy, who wrote The Road and No Country for Old Men. He's a really good writer. Sarah really likes him a lot. So when she found out, like, this was the first time, like, he actually sat down and he was like, I'm going to write something specifically for like, a movie.
Huh.
And Ridley Scott picked it up, and I guess it came out last week or something like that.
Interesting.
So we want to go see that. And then Ender's Game came out. And I want to see it just because it's got Harrison Ford in it. And Ben Kingsley with his face all tattooed.
Asa Butterfield.
I don't know anything about I've never read Ender's Game, so I don't know anything about it. So.
There's all this controversy about it. On the one hand, there's like Orson Scott Card, the author's.
Did he do that Advent Rising?
I don't think so.
Okay,
unless that's a newer series. I've written a lot of his older stuff. You know, so Ender's Game is like one of those seminal science fiction books from like the mid-80s.
Oh.
And it was its first Hugo and Nebula Award winner.
Okay.
And it was remarkable for its glimpse into the mind of like of really intelligent children. And so like there's a lot of kids who grew up who were feeling isolated and, you know, not really connected with the people around them.
Yeah.
You know. The kind of quiet, deep thinkers
okay.
who found this book, you know, very, very comforting.
The smart kids.
Essentially. I mean, Orson Scott Card tends to write about, like, smart kids in exceptional circumstances.
Yeah.
But he gets the inner dialogue right.
Huh.
And then he wrote another series called, the Alvin Maker series, which is kind of an alternative history in which people in America can perform bits of magic. So everyone has... some people have what they call a knack. For example, maybe someone's really good at like making little baskets out of wood, or someone has the knack to be able to light a fire without a match.
Yeah,
and it takes place around the time when you know America's being colonized.
Okay,
you know, so like people are moving west, you know, and like there's like. So, you know, it's an enjoyable book for me because it's about making stuff. You know, and then you know, like I had considered him as like you know one of my favorite, most human, like science fiction writers. But he has, you know, in the past, I guess, 10 years or so, he's been writing for this conservative column, and a lot of his views against gay marriage have come out.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought, well, maybe people are just overblowing what he's saying or taking it out of context. And then you know, yesterday, I went and looked up one of these columns, and it's pretty much as people have been saying. I mean, it's hard to reconcile. It's like it's one of those moments when you discover someone you really you had admired and had based part of your life on.
Like kicks puppies and beats up children.
You know, not you know. It's like how could the person who wrote Speaker for the Dead you know,
right.
be like this?
Right.
There's something I don't understand about that.
Are you able to separate? Because this is a good question. Because I haven't seen all of them, but I respect Roman Polanski movies, but. You know, like, I mean, some people, you mention that to them and they look at you, you know, they look at you like you just, you know, like you say you support, you know, molesting children when you say something like that.
Yeah,
and it's like, but it's separate from his personal life. Like it's, you know,
right,
like.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Wagner.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something I try to do, which is to separate the message from the messenger.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important part of being able to process what goes on in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say like, well, so-and-so is telling me this, but that person's an ass. So what he's telling me must be an ass truth, which means it's a lie. You're kind of setting yourself up for this line of thinking that you know, may not go anyplace.
Yeah.
You have to consider the facts separate from the messenger.
Yeah.
And so in this case, I could look at what Orson Scott Card wrote and how it affected me as being a genuine truth. That he seems to be harboring these views that I don't agree with.
Yep.
You know, maybe tolerance is partly being able to put up with that. You know, and you know, not falling in the same trap of hate.
Right.
You know that people tend to fall into.
Yep.
I mean, it's like it's easy to say like you're not with me, therefore you're against me, and therefore I hate you.
Yep.
And therefore I'm going to do everything to do to discredit you. I'm even going to make up stuff. I'm not going to research things. I'm just going to assume that you're the object of this hatred that I have against things that I hate.
Right.
And even if you are in the right in some way, you're not really doing much to bring people together.
No.
If you just want to be on the right side, well, just you know, just do that. You know, pick your sports team, you know, and like you know, cast aspersions on other things. But don't give me this like I'm being a better person because of that.
Right.
It's a difficult thing to reconcile, and you know as much as I may not agree with the certain points of view that he espouses, I guess I have to consider them. You know, I have to hear them and try to understand where he's coming from,
right.
And I don't know what all the facts are, or even what the beliefs or faith issues are. I can understand maybe that you know Christians or certain Christians may believe that marriage has a very special meaning to them. I mean, I guess a trivial, maybe silly example would be like someone who wants to be Asian, you know, but isn't.
Right.
You know, but then they just decide that they are Asian and they redefine Asianness as being people who like Asia. You know, and that's a really trivial thing. It's going to get me in all kinds of trouble just because I said that. But Nevertheless, even if you believe this person is crazy, that's the person that, that's what they believe.
Right.
You know, and it may not come from a bad place. It may be because I love Asia so much. Yeah, but there's a certain bunch of, like, Asians saying, you're not Asian.
Shut up.
I mean, like, you could say that, oh, you, maybe you're an Asian,
yeah.
Shades of meaning, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
What people believe in and what people anchor their identities with.
Yes.
You know, that's very, very sensitive stuff to deal with. And we had to approach it, I think, carefully. You know, so, you know, I'm going to go see Ender's Game. And I'm going to feel a little bit bad about it. But I'm going to just go see it and see how I feel about it.
Yeah, afterwards. You know, like, as crazy as Mel Gibson is, it's not going to change the fact that I love his movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I guess you could say that the characters that this guy has come up with, like Mel Gibson's characters or like Orson Scott Card's books, the reality I saw reflected back into me, I don't think are bad things.
Yeah.
You know, but to color the material based on their parents, it's like if you do judge the son by the sins of the parents,
yes.
that kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, so if you see the work, the creative work is in a similar kind of way.
And he doesn't put those, like those columns that you're reading that he's writing, he's not putting those beliefs into the books, right?
No,
so he's not. What, then what's...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we're at a time in where people, when you have something that you believe in, you had to really believe in it because there's very little else to support you in society. Before it was, you know, everyone went to church and everyone believed in the American flag and the government was our friend.
Right.
We all lived within like 10 blocks of each other.
Right. And it's nowadays it's also easier for like one little tiny thing. I mean, because of the internet and everything, like one little tiny thing that you might say suddenly gets sound clipped and becomes a soundbite and a gazillion, you know, instantly people can find out stuff that you're saying. Whereas before that, it probably wouldn't be as easy to get that sort of stuff out.
Yeah, and I think people pick stuff so they can... We are starved to have things to believe in again.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the most accessible things is, you know, things that we like, things that we don't like. You know, I was commenting to... Maybe it was you the other day that... I can't remember who this was, but it was... It was like the internet was either filled with adorably cute things or things that filled me with rage.
Instantly, you insta-rage.
It's like, what? And the thing is, like, the media, the people who write the headlines for it, they're writing the headlines to evoke that.
Yes. Yep.
And they're literally saying things. This is the coolest thing you'll ever see on the internet.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Or, like, this, you won't believe, like, the terrible thing that this person has done.
Yep.
And then there's lists of them.
Yep.
And so I've been trying to avoid the internet or just skip over those kind of things because as much as like the cute stuff, it's a little bit too much even.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's like the rage and oh, cute rage. And then what's wrong with the world? Where are the people who just like sit quietly and drink their tea?
No.
No.
Yeah. You can't have that on the internet. It has to be one extreme or the other. The internet is extremes. That's it right there.
Yeah. It's like... So I see a lot of people cherry picking, you know, what they want to believe in, and they make it their cause, and then it's a cause at the exclusion of other people who aren't with them.
Yep.
And I don't think that's a good thing.
No.
So anyway, that's Dave on Deep Thoughts.
This Deep Thought has been brought to you by Dave Say.
And... Newton's peanut butter. What are those?
Those are Fig Newtons.
Newton. Oh, yeah.
It looks like a, what is it, a fruity cake.
Yep.
He's a Fig Newton. It's a fruity cake.
Yeah.
Yes. So that I think that theater-wise, that's about it, really.
Yep. Stuff coming up. So there's a, that Picker, did it happen yet? No, that's on December 7th, right? The Picker building.
Oh, the open studio. Yes, that is December 5th, something like that, 5th or 7th. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Barcam Manchester is this weekend.
Yep.
And you know who's going to be there?
You.
And
and
Kentakoga.
Oh, Kentakoga.
Kentakoga will be there. I believe he'll be
there. Kentakoga, Kentakoga.
Bar Camp Manchester. Kentakoga, up at the Dine.
Kentakoga.
Dine HQ, wherever that is in Manchester.
It's almost like a tongue twister trying to say his name. Like Kentakoga, Kentakoga. Just, I don't know. I don't know why I say it so fast. I just, Kentakoga. It just rolls off the.
You're such a fan.
It speeds off. He's so funny. I like Kentakoga. He's a good guy.
Yeah. And we got some heat from saying that he was our only fan, because apparently Elise McDonald and Robert Penitentin. I can't remember how many Entons are in there. Rob and Elise are also fans, they say. And thank you, Elise and Robert.
Yes, Elise.
For continuing to support us by listening to us talk to our butts.
Yes. And might we add how badly we miss Studio 99 now that it is no longer with us.
Studio 99.
Website is still up, studio99nashua.com.
Is it still up?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep. And there's a Facebook group, too, that's sort of serving as a hub for music-related people that want to try to stick together.
That's right.
Share thoughts and things like that.
Oh, is this week the first? This is the first Wednesday this week. Is there piano karaoke?
Oh, I don't know.
She still
She's been
that.
Doing that at the Nashua Community Music School.
Yeah, just around the corner from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know anything about it because I haven't gone. And
you should go.
Like
go and just check it out. Sit way in the back like I did.
And spy.
And just spy and see what people are doing. They don't mind. They don't mind.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll find the spirit of song.
This, Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Can you believe it's November?
The end of 2013 already. This last couple of years, like we went on our we took that vacation up in Maine to celebrate our second wedding anniversary, and I can't believe that we're already on our second wedding anniversary.
Wow,
that's crazy. It's already been 2 years.
Wow,
isn't it? It seems like we were just at Beaverbrook doing the whole ceremony thing, like not that long ago.
Huh. My memory is getting. Progressively.
That's because you're old. You're an old person.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We're getting to be old people.
I can't remember what I did this morning. How did I get here?
You got up and you had your Metamucil.
You know, I started to buy cereal that's filled with fiber.
Have you?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It used to not be.
I stopped. I've been eating nothing but cereal for the last forever.
Yeah.
And I'm trying a new thing now where I'm just having two hard-boiled eggs a day in the morning.
That's good.
And a banana. Yep.
Yep.
And then my lunches have been salads of some kind. Like this week, we're having potato salad and a banana.
Potato salad isn't exactly a salad.
Well, I mean, it's called potato salad.
Yeah, but you it's know. Filled with starch.
No, it's got potatoes, and it's got
which
some mayo,
starch,
and it's got
which is basically sugar.
Celery, and it's
mayo,
got
which is basically fat. Celery, which isn't even a vegetable. It's some sort of like wood filling substance.
What? Wood filling substance?
It's made of fire. It's
didn't you ever
grass.
Do, what is it? Didn't you ever do like bugs on a log with celery?
Peanut
butter.
Like celery.
It's just celery. It's just green. It tastes green. It tastes like nature.
It
tastes like
It does grass. Taste like nature. It does taste like, because it is grass.
It is grass.
You kind of the way lobsters are like giant bugs.
Yes. Lobsters are good though.
No.
I like lobsters.
No.
I wouldn't eat them all the time.
I disagree.
But, yeah. No, that's good. The claw meat, especially the claw meat.
The claw meat.
It's good. Just pull that claw right out.
Ugh.
It's rubbery kind of, but it's good. It tastes good.
I never really liked them. Which makes me a bad Asian.
Why? Is it, you?
They love seafood.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like any kind of seafood?
Not really.
Oh.
Yesterday I ate some shrimp. I was down visiting my friend Alan down at the North Shore, and we went to this Chinese place called Su Chang's.
Yep.
Which is in Salem, I think.
Yep.
And they actually have a pretty decent crispy, peppery pork chop thing.
Nice.
And so I had those, and we got like a half a duck. So that was good.
Was it good?
It was good.
We thought of you on Saturday. We made pulled pork.
Yeah.
And we stuck it in the crock pot and slow cooked it. It was awesome.
Yep.
You just touch it, and it just falls apart.
That's the way it should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very good. So we had that on rice.
Very authentic.
Yeah.
Good for you. You didn't put butter on it, did you?
No.
Good.
Just rice and then the whatever the stuff was that we did.
It must have been good. That's your I should make some Taiwanese pork stew for you. See what you think about it. basically the same thing. You know, a savory pork, like, you know, that's poured over a bit of rice, and the rice absorbs the flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. There was something else that was going on this week. What was it? Oh, it's November, man. That's the month of all these activities.
Oh, right. The NaNoWriMo thing. NaNoWriMo. Are you doing that this year?
Not doing it this year. But I did update the calendar that I made last year that you could count the words.
Yeah.
You know, to do the 50,000 words in a month in 30 days,
yep.
You need to do about 1,600 words a day.
Wow.
And so I made this little calendar last year that you can fill in these blocks. Like each block is 250, and it makes this pyramid of 10 blocks.
Oh.
So if you fill in 7 of them, then you're making your count for the day.
Yep.
If you fill in more than that, then you fill those in too.
Okay.
So it's like a pacing calendar.
Huh.
So it's been getting a lot of links from other NaNoWriMo participants this
good.
Year. So, you know, it's people have been saying, thank you for this. I love this. And so that's good. Getting lots of pins on Pinterest, too.
You are not successful unless you end up on Pinterest.
I guess
somebody else is pinning you. When you go to look for something and then all of a sudden something, like an image of yours comes up, then you know you're...
Yeah. You know, so it's good to make stuff that people like. That's the big payoff.
Yeah.
And what else? Movember.
Movember.
And that's the what? You grow a mustache for testicular
cancer? Testicular cancer. And I guess you have to clean shave. Is it clean? You clean shave yourself?
Yep.
And then you grow a mustache for the month. And then I think there's like websites you can sign up and you take a picture every day to show your mustache growth.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't grow a mustache.
There's an army of Burt Reynolds fans that are just, you know, happy about this month.
Yeah.
Alex Trebek.
If I get away from society for like a month, I should just see what happens.
What, try growing a mustache?
Yeah, the last time I tried, it just after about like 7 days, it looks like
I can't see you with facial hair.
Well, I don't have any.
It's dark. Stuff. Like you've got like a little 5 o'clock shadow going on.
That's because I didn't shave all this weekend. That's what happens. This is what. If I let it grow any longer, then what happens? You get these little individual hairs that come out.
Uh huh.
And you know, it's like I start to look
like a homeless catfish. Guy.
It's like it's the little individual hairs come out, and like they kind of wiggle around, and it's not good look.
No. Yeah. That's great. Did you get like the little Confucius thing? Like the little.
I've never let it grow that long, but I bet that's what would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know.
Maybe you should do it.
Maybe I should.
You and Kenta. I'd like to see what Kenta would look like with a mustache, too.
Doesn't he have one?
No. I think he's always been clean shaven.
Has he always been?
Yeah.
Oh, he has long hair.
That's he's got the ponytail.
He's got the ponytail. Yep. Yep. But no, he doesn't have like the Burt Reynolds mustache.
I'm telling you, man. Some people just. I wish to God I could grow a mustache like Sam Elliott, the actor.
Can't you?
No. Because he's got this big, beautiful, giant, full. It's like a rug under it. Like, it's just amazing. Like,
are you saying he has a kissing mustache?
He totally. No, he's got like the quintessential cowboy mustache. Like, it's just.
What stops you from having that?
My facial hair doesn't grow in like that.
Oh,
it just weird. Doesn't. It's just like you look at his, like this is like compared to his, like this is like barren. Like it's just, there's nothing there.
Oh,
his
so you just, can't thicken that up?
No. You're
it doesn't
only,
just get thicker
no.
the longer you.
No.
Huh.
No, that's all it is.
But you get, doesn't it just get long and you just kind of like tweak it out to the side?
You could do that, but it's not, it's still not like this. You know, like a true. Lip ferret, like
you know,
like those furry caterpillars. Like it's just not. This.
Huh.
But if you look at Sam Elliott, who's like usually his whole stereotype is westerns. Like they always put him in western movies because he's tall, and he's lanky. And he's the guy that played the Stranger in Big Lebowski.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but he's just.
I keep thinking he was in Westworld.
No, it was Yul Brynner.
No. The two guys. Who are going to Westworld.
Oh.
And the one of them gets killed, one survives. I think the one that survives is Sam Elliott.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let me look that up.
I don't remember that.
Tell me what else is going on.
Nothing. Nothing's going on. Just batting down the hatches for winter.
Well, what kind of stuff do we have going on this week? I'm working on Teresa Santowski's I'm her visual consultant. Because I don't do websites, but I can visually consult. Which is a nice distinction to make.
You can tell those websites should look like.
Oh, here's something we should talk about. We should talk about who we want to get on the show.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I've never thought of this like a like an interview. Well, no, we've had Amy Petty, Vanessa's been on the show too. Yeah,
it's been fun. Just to shoot the Elise has been on the show.
That's true. Elise has been on the show. Not to forget Elise.
We've never had Ken DeCoga on the show.
Ken DeCoga, he should do it. He should be our first guest.
Didn't we have Mark Cookson on?
We did. That's right.
And
what am I talking about? We're like a radio program.
We do this in the. It's like this is the Monday show, and so on the Monday show we talk about, I don't know. It's like you're kind of getting warmed up mm-hmm. for the week with.
Oh, so should we have two shows then? Should we have the like our Monday show, and then we have a one later in the week where we interview guests?
Huh. I guess we could do the guests as like separate things,
or we could just get a guest here on a Monday morning. That would be.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of nice.
It probably might cut down the number of people we can get, yeah, right? But I don't know. Just keep an eye. Just throw out some names. Who do we want to?
I'm drawing a complete blank. I don't even know. Well, we'll have to start with Kenta.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be someone who's like, I don't know, like leading a charge for humanity or anything. Just to find out what people are thinking.
Yeah,
like we could get some of the models you've shot over the past year.
Yep.
See how what they've been up to since then. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Complete blank.
I've got to know some other people in the area who are doing stuff.
Well, it really just needs to be an open invitation.
That's true.
So if you're listening, listeners, yep. all two, three of you, two, Rob, three, Elise, yep. and Kenta, outside of them, because we've had you already or we want to get you on the show.
Jen O'Callaghan?
She should totally get on here. Teresa should get on here because she's got a book coming out soon.
That's true. She promoted.
Yes. She could talk up her book. So we could do that. We could do Jen. We could even get our friend David Blake, Jen's husband.
Yeah.
And here he could talk about the Movember thing because he's always very he's the first person on my Facebook feed where I know
right
it's Movember time because he's just like it's Movember, here we are, here's a picture of me, here's my mustache, it's starting to come in.
Huh.
And he could talk about that.
Yeah, if you want to come on and just shoot the breeze, that's good with
come in and tell us your story and tell us what you are passionate about. What are you passionate about?
I've been corresponding with my friend Britt about what passion is. You know, like as far as like success and
yeah.
well, actually not even so specifically. The reason this came up was because of this book called "Don't Follow Your Passion." It's a book by Carl Newport about not following your passion. And I thought the book was kind of full of crap in places, but there's a good message there. This is where that like you. Pulling out the message from the away from like you know, what to think the messenger is doing.
Yep.
Yeah, so I had to admit that there were some good points in it, and I was trying to figure out what that was.
Huh.
But I guess we'll talk about that next week.
I watched a Nikon internet commercial. They're touting a new camera that's coming out, and they've been doing these really cheesy like 30-second videos with this British guy.
Yeah.
And the most recent one, right before this camera's going to be unveiled, in his little thick British accent, he goes, "My father always told me that the thing that you can do all day without looking at your watch, that's what you're passionate about."
Yeah, there were some good things this weekend about some passion. I saw this. The NPR has a show called The TED Show or something like that.
Yeah, they play TED Talks.
Yeah, so this one was about success. On the drive down to the North Shore on Sunday, I caught a bit of it.
Yeah.
And it had that philosopher Alain de Botton talking about success. It was a good like 3 minutes of stuff that I heard. And then there was this other thing by I think her name is there's a show called Girls on HBO, which I've never seen. I had no idea who this person was, but Alec Baldwin was interviewing her on the show. I want to say her name was Laura Dunham or something like that. But sounded like a really cool person.
Huh.
Like a sharp-witted comic who wasn't mean.
Wow.
Can't be. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body. She's gonna hold her back, but she works with it. But anyway,
yeah,
that's the week.
So that wraps up the week of Monday, November 4th, 2013. And
have a good week.
Have a good week. Yeah, this is
do some stuff.
Photographer Sid Caesar.
This is designer Dave Say.
And we will see you later. Yes.
Why is
Dave so always pulls his headset off now because it gets all loud. Give it up, Michael Bellar.
Woo-hoo.
And the Oz's Ensemble. And I want to see a cartoon of a Dave, say, catfish.